Well, hi, everybody, and welcome into this week's podcast. Don Munson, along with a guy that you're going to hear more and more and more about. You probably already know this story, but Ray McElrathby is here with us on the podcast today. As everybody knows that we're shooting the movie Safety here on campus, and that'll be going on during the halftime of the Charlotte game this weekend. But Ray, first and foremost, welcome back to campuses. When was the last time that you were actually back here on campus?
Maybe a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Came up, did a little tour, ran around the campus a little bit, just on a visit, nothing major.
All right, let's kind of update what your people in your life right now. It's not just moviedom, but you're living out in Los Angeles, right?
Yes.
Personal trainer, is that's what
yes,
I understand, right?
Personal trainer, and I work with a homeless outreach program called HOPICS, as a family response team specialist, so... some of the things I'm doing, I occasionally do some work as a phone banking and canvassing guy with campaigns, different voter registration drives and voter education things of that sort. So it's kind of been what I've been doing along with the physical fitness. I also was an armed security guard occasionally out in Los Angeles, working in nightclubs and doing different events. So it's been fun. I've been kind of living one of those lives. I've been all over the place. So it's been fun.
Nothing wrong with that. Great experiences,
yes.
from that standpoint. All right, let's catch people up on the movie first that we all know is shooting here on campus, and like I say, we'll see some of it at halftime during the football game. This has been a work in progress. Now I didn't realize this had been going on for like 12 years.
Yes, it's 13. Yeah. 13 years. It's been a very long process. There had been times I've sold my rights to do different movies or different things in likeness of my life. You know, initially everything would be exciting and things as such, and then things would fizz out. And so being that it's been well over a decade, it's kind of been one of those situations where I was used to kind of going back and forth about it, but nothing really coming of it. But I knew eventually that something would eventually come of it. I just had faith in that. So just kept at it, and here we are.
Showed up here on campus, I believe it was 2005.
Yes.
And see, I guess your last year here was 2009, is that right? 2008.
I actually graduated in 2008. Okay. I was one of the lucky guys to get through college in 3 years and graduate. So a lot of class work, but I was able to finish it, along with Faye Moore being by my side. So I did Clemson in 3 years. So after Clemson, I went to Howard University to pursue a master's program. Unfortunately, I didn't finish, but my time at Clemson was some of the better times of my life. So,
all right, let's go back and reflect on that time. Actually, 2005, you redshirted. You came in as a DB, and you redshirted that year. So, give me just kind of memories of 2005 before we get into the real story of 2006. But give me. You had an ACL injury that was along in there, and a red shirt year, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, came in, had the red shirt year, did some stuff. Then they came back that next year, and that's what Faymar kind of came about. What happened? I was doing a lot of special team work then. I was still on defense at the time in the beginning of those 6 seasons, and then eventually I switched over to offense. And then that's how I ended up tearing my ACL for that 07 season.
Excuse me.
And so that was kind of during the times. And then 08, was I graduated in the summer of 08, and then went off to Howard University and played there. And then I played at Mars Hill College in North Carolina. So I'm probably the only player to ever play Division One, Division One AA, and Division Two football in my eligibility. So I've had the unique experience. I went to Clemson University, which is the great University of Clemson. And then went to Howard, which is HBCU. And then I went to a small school in Mars Hill. And so it's been a unique experience. And I wouldn't change it for the world.
All right, so obviously it's in 2006 where the real story comes, where Brother Faymar, and you become a guy that literally changes the NCAA rule book. And at the time, as a young person at that time, trying to go through it and just trying to take care of your brother, I mean, my guess is that time has been really good for you to really realize what you had to do, when you had to do it, and how you had to go about doing it?
Time has passed, but even now I'm sometimes baffled by all the things that transpired. But a lot of it's just because of the magnitude of the project I undertook, which is raising another human being, my brother nonetheless. But I had a support of 85,000 people at least, and that's not just on the weekends. The Clemson family stood behind me for as long as I was here and even afterwards. And so they've always been that, the Clemson family, and I'm grateful for that, and that's kind of been my story. That was the story then. It wasn't really just about me. It was about us all. It wasn't something I did. It was the village of Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina. And the worldwide support that came as well, but more so what happened here and on this campus. So,
all right, it would be, I guess, I don't know that I could do it justice to the story of people. And maybe not everybody knows this. I don't think everybody really that knows your story. So kind of, if you don't mind, here over the next couple of minutes, just in your own words, kind of put together the storyline, the timeline of what happened, of how you had to make the decisions that you had to make. You had, you know, if the NCAA doesn't change rules, you're going to have to give up eligibility, you know, that kind of stuff. So kind of give me the timeline of all this and, you know, how you had to go about the various steps.
Well, when it initially broke, Larry Williams did the story out of the Charleston Post Courier. It was on the front page. And then people wanted to help. People in the community wanted to help. People from Clemson wanted to help. And initially, nobody figured it would be a problem helping, because they weren't helping because they was trying to get me to come to Clemson or make me feel better about Clemson. They wanted to help because they were generally great people and they wanted to see others do well. And the fact that I'm part of the Clemson family, they felt the need to lend a helping hand to family. And the others outside of the Clemson family felt the same way. And so it all went down, did the story, everybody tried to help. No one was allowed to help, which wasn't a problem initially. Everybody was bothered by it, but nobody really made too much of a fuss. Went to the Florida State game. Faye Maher's at the Florida State game. There's a problem. Faye Maher, I play with the team, so I'm on the team bus. I'm with the team, so he didn't travel with me because I'm with the team. So the next question was who and how does Faye Maher get to the game? And Faye Maher went to the game, rode with a friend who family loves Clemson, so it was considered a booster. And the NCAA, and along with the university, was forced to suspend me. Well, I guess they suspended me based on the rule that you can't receive any extra benefits by him receiving a ride that wasn't offered to every other student at the university. It was considered a benefit, an extra benefit. But all he did was just go to the game with someone who I considered a friend, but that wasn't enough. So the NCAA suspended me, and then people went crazy. With good reason. All the Clemson fans reached out to the NCAA, and there was websites that went up. I remember a guy, Jim Rome, did a story, Rome is Burning. Stephen A. Smith did a story, and then it kind of made national news. And then Miles Brenn, rest in heaven, unfortunately he's not with us, who was the NCAA president at the time, reached out. He came to Clemson. We had a conversation about it. We met about it, and we shook hands, and they granted me the waiver rule. And so that's how I was. Interestingly enough, I had the opportunity to change the books and do something different. So then that allowed people in the community to help me and help Faye Maher. They started the trust fund, but my coaches' wives continued to do what they always wanted to do and what they were willing to do from the jump, which was pick Faye Maher up, take him to various various places and do things. They took him on family trips and things like that. So it was always one of those situations where it allowed people in Clemson to be who they are, really, because initially they had to stop everything that they would naturally do because of the NCAA rules.
Do you look at this as more the story of Ray Ray or more the story of Faye Maher, or is it kind of equal?
Maybe it's probably more of a story of Clemson.
Mm.
It's It happened right before Dabo took over. I think it's one of the better things about Clemson, the family, more so than the national championships, more so than anything athletic. It's the family that you join when you come to Clemson. And so I think this is about that aspect of it. And it's about my life and how my family benefited from the family at the university. And there could be a story about Faye Moore sooner than later, because I think it's an interesting storyline to have his perspective on everything. Because he looked at it from a different... He's a kid on college campus. I think that's a story to sell. I would want to watch that movie about how he saw everything, how he interpreted all the things that were going on. Because, once again, I was a college student. I was a teenager. I was a young, crazy college student. I'm a football player, too. And I came up a little different. So I can only imagine how his story would be told. And it's probably a lot more interesting than mine. Because he was a kid and he went through it all. He was here when I was at Clemson and he experienced in the family atmosphere. And then he went to Howard. He was there and he was at Mars Hill. So it's been a wild ride for him as well. And I think his story is elaborate. There's a long chapter in Clemson about it. And it's probably will be a chapter in every... Well, there'll be a piece of Clemson in every chapter of his life. And same with me. So... I think this is a story about it all, just sacrifice and perseverance and things like that, and faith, just because I've always had the faith that everything will be okay. And it was one of those things that allowed me to make the decision I made to take care of Amon, because I had faith that no matter what, I'm going to be okay. Like at the end of the day, no matter what, God got me. I'm going to be okay. I'm good. Me and Jesus are homeboys, so we fine. And, that kind of thought process kind of got me through it, along with the help of the Clemson University and all the people that helped out and reached out and donated.
Yeah. It's great to hear that you know where your anchor holds, my friend. I mean, it's great to know that you know where your anchor holds from this team. And, you know, Faymar's, what, 24 now?
Yes.
Yeah, so give us an update on Faymar. Tell me what's going on in Faymar's life right now.
Well, Faymar actually just moved back. He has plans to work with the university. He just moved back to Clemson maybe a week or two ago. So he's looking for work, and we'll see what happens with that. He was here. He was here initially, but he moved out to L.A. with me. Mm-hmm. So he was out in L.A. working, doing shipping and packaging and things like that. And he wanted to come back here, especially with everything that's going on now. He loves this place. It's where, more so than me, he calls this place home, because it's kind of where he made all his childhood friends at. And this is where he graduated high school from Daniel. And he went to Edwards Middle School. And so it's the footprints of his life are all kind of stepped in this area in Orange, whereas mine name kind of been all over the place, but I have an anchor here, as you would say. So Faymar's doing well, and hopefully he'll be forever part of the university as a staff member.
How often do you all talk about everything that happened here? I mean, he's 11, 12, 13 years old when all of this is going down. You're just becoming an adult, becoming kind of like a man and all that kind of stuff. So how much do you all actually, as brothers, sit down and either talk, laugh, cry about everything that happened here and transpired here?
I think I'm more of the crier. I think that's my thing. I cry about a lot of stuff that's transpired, good and bad. Mostly good. It's just overwhelming, especially with everything that's going on now. So there'll be a lot more crying for me. I can tell you that now. I'm gonna break down eventually, because it's been that type of overwhelming experience. Whereas Faymar, I mean, he laughs about it. He giggles about it. It was some of those days, because because a lot of his days involve watching me live my life. And not that he didn't have a life of his own, but I think it was fascinating to see, I mean, me out there and then all my teammates and everything, to be like part of that life, to be the younger kid with all the older kids. I think we talk about that a lot, and the experiences that he had with not just me, but he hung around all my teammates, and he has experience with all of them and at various schools and things like that. So that's why I think his stories are always a lot more entertaining and a lot more funny, because I was living my life and he had the opportunity to see it. And because I was kind of moving a mile, 100,000 miles a minute with all the responsibilities of taking care of him and trying to play college football, whereas he got a chance to kind of just sit back, no responsibilities, and watch it all. And I think that's an interesting thing. And we occasionally talk about that and how that impacted him and how what he feels about it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, hanging around a football team, all of a sudden he's got 100 brothers that are on a football team. All right, so year and a half ago, the deal gets signed with Walt Disney, and here we are this week shooting stuff. This is the beginning phase of it. So maybe also take us through the timeline. Right? We'll shoot here for a week here in Clemson. Yes. At halftime, there's 7 minutes at halftime that they're going to try to get some stuff in. What transpires, though, now? I think you're going off to Atlanta, I guess, to shoot the rest of the movie, right?
Yes. Okay, being that, see, me and Disney, it's been a year and some change as far as preparation is concerned. And even with the 7 minutes at halftime, that's been a four-month planning. For 7 minutes, it's been 4 months about 4 months of planning, 12 to 15 rehearsals, and still to this point now, there's still some things to be worked out about the whole situation. So that process has been that type of process, whereas it's so much that goes into one scene, because you'll see 300 people staffed for 8 hours for one scene. And you like the magnitude of it. It's the I couldn't explain it. It's surreal. It's really surreal. And then to know that a lot of these people see you as the catalyst for all this. You're the reason that this is possible. You're the reason that this is going on. And to feel like, hey, these people are supposedly here to share with me in my life. And to know that a lot of these people have, like, not just stake into the movie by just being a part of it, but they enjoy the story. They want me to do well. They want to hear about me doing well. And that's kind of surreal as well. So, man, it's just been one of those type of experiences, man. Each day has been new. And each day shows, like, what it takes to kind of put this type of situation together, to put this type of event together, and it's humongous. I can't imagine. And I just let me know how big Disney is, and they continuously show me that they kind of have some power, some crazy power. Because even just to put the things together, just the size of this project is huge, and I never could have ever imagined that it would be something like this. I figured we was going to shoot it with two cameras, and you know, I just kind of well, that was okay. Truth be told, that was my thought process back then. I didn't imagine it be anything like it's been. And so each day I'm taking it in and learning and just enjoying the experience, and I'm humbled and grateful by it. That's about it.
Yeah, the shooting here on campus has involved the libraries, and it's involved daytime shoots, it's involved nighttime shoots, it's involved all of that. You're not in front of the camera, you're behind the camera, I guess, you know, helping along with it. Is there going to be a cameo? Will we at least get a cameo? Are we going to get a cameo from you in this thing?
There'll be some scenes that I'm going to be a part of, whether you know it or not. Sometimes I'm lurking in the background, there's other scenes I'm actually in a helmet. So I'm playing around. I'm doing some football stuff. I like to think I'm in great shape. Well, at least I like to stay in somewhat good shape. I'm not in football, Clemson football shape, but I'm in I'm not going to take a dig at any other team. I almost said I was in another ACC football team shape. I'm in Georgia Tech shape.
See, that's just wrong. That's just wrong right there now. That is just wrong from that standpoint. All right, so
in Alabama shape. I'm in Alabama shape. I'm not completely at the top tier Clemson shape. I'm Crimson Tide shape. It's okay, but I'm gonna get the Clemson shape in pretty soon here, and hopefully, and do my cameo well and make the university proud.
Then the other part of this is you got to wait because you got to shoot the rest of it. Then it's gonna go into post. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're talking probably a year before it's out.
Yes. It's a year, and I can't imagine what I'll be doing in this next year. It's scary because so much has happened in these few days, on campus, off campus, in my life in general. And so I don't know what this will look like a year from now. I don't know what the excitement will be a year from now. I can imagine something crazy. I always think eventually I'm going to wake up. Somebody got to pinch me. I might need to be punched. Because there's been days as this process has been going on where I felt like I was at that point in a dream where things are like too good. Like, okay, all right, things are too good. And there's other times in dreams where things are too bad. And then you wake up and that's where I'm at right now. I'm kind of just, things are being thrown at me and I'm seeing stuff and it's like, oh, this can't be real. This is not my life right now. So when am I going to wake up? And I'm not waking up. And so each morning I wake up in my own dream. I think it's feel like I wake up in my own dream. And I live my life in hope that, hey, I don't wake up. Or well, maybe I do. I don't know.
You're not going to wake up. You know, I will tell you, I think we both believe the exact same thing. God honors those who honor him, brother. And that's what's happening in your life. Enjoy every last, soak it up. Be a big sponge and soak all of this stuff up. Because, you know, Coach Sweeney has a great saying, that the best is yet to come. I can see it in your eyes, and I can hear it in your voice. The best is yet to come for you, and I hope that you believe that and know that.
Yes, I do. As I always, I've spoken with Jeff Davis since I've been back in town, and it's just one of the things we've always talked about with me is how I managed to land on my feet. Mm. And through that, it's through my faith. Like, I've always knew God got me. I've always kind of been my whole thought process in life. No matter what is going on, I'm gonna be okay because God got me. I've through my faith, I am okay. Jesus got me. I'm straight. I might go through my whole trials and tribulations, but so did everyone else. So did Jesus. So did Martin Luther King. So did anybody that you'll think is a great person. They have had times and they have stories where things weren't that great. And so whenever I'm having those times, I know that eventually I can be like Martin. I can be in the likeness of Jesus. I'm going to be okay. And people will eventually talk about me and say that he lived his life and with great faith and with great joy because he knew that everything will be okay because, like I said, like Dabo and like Jeff Davis, that he had faith that things would always be okay because you just persevere and just know that you'll be all right. And that's been the crux of the whole thing for me. Like, I'm going to be all right. And everybody else is going to be all right as far as my family is concerned because I pray and they have faith as well. And so I just want to pass that along, if anything, if people see the movie and realize that, just continue to keep moving and know that your sacrifice is not for anything. It's all part of a larger plan, and you'll be okay. And everyone around you will be okay. And you just continue to move throughout life like that. And so you won't have too many bad days knowing that, hey, okay, this is just setting me up for one of those moments. Okay, so if everything is terrible now, oh, man, I'm excited because eventually, I know, as soon as, okay, it's going to get so bad, and then it's going to turn around. And I just wait for that moment for when things turn around. And I'm at the cusp of one of those moments where things are turning around. And it's not that I was in a tragic place in my life, but it's just I guess part of it all. Like I was living my life in Los Angeles. I was doing what I do. I was helping people. I was doing homeless outreach, and I also work with recently released prisoners with mental health disabilities. And so, they came to me and they, hey, we want to put your story to the world. Mm. And so, even then, I'll lie and say I had faith that they would make the movie. No, I knew eventually the movie would be made, but I didn't think it was going to be made now. I didn't plan on it to happen. Even though I signed the deal, it wasn't the plan that it was going to be a movie made now. But seeing, I knew it was always something big coming, and that I would be okay. And I've always been okay, and I'll probably always be okay. Even when I'm not, even if you catch me crying, I might even cry at the game. You might see tears run down my face and my eyes are completely red. Just know I'm all right. I'm just having a moment. And even if it's a moment of despair or whatever, I'm going to be okay.
Well, you've done more than land on your feet. You've landed on your feet. You've walked and you're running the race to win. I mean, that's what we're all supposed to do, is run the race to win. And you're doing it well. Appreciate you. All the best with this. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch on Saturday. It's going to be a lot of fun to see the final product when it finally is out there. All the best to you and Famar. You know that the Clemson family is right there with you. You're such a big part of this, and they're a big part of you. I know, but hey, congratulations. Couldn't happen to better people.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate the Clemson family and all the support. I just say keep God first, and let's go on this ride together, because we all won Clemson all in.
We are all in. All right, there you go. There's our podcast for the day. That was a good one right there. Right, for everything Clemson athletic-wise, don't forget, it's right there at your fingertips, ClemsonTigers.com. And again, Saturday, stay in your seats at halftime. They want you to be part of it. They'll do the run down the hill. They're going to do a couple of plays and all that kind of stuff. So have a great time with that Saturday in the stadium as well for the filming of Safety. That'll be a lot of fun on Saturday. For Ray McElrathby, I'm Don Munson. Hey, thanks for being with us. Go Tigers.